So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Well, today, Chris, the readings, especially with regard to the prediction of the coming of the Messiah, it was promised to David, but the circumstances of the promise to David were such that he was going to build God a house. He was going to build him a temple. And he was telling the prophet Nathan, it's in the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of Samuel, he was going to tell him, I am going to build a house for God. I live in a cedar house. I live in this kingly house, and God is still in the tent. And Nathan says, well, you do what you want to do. You're the king. If it comes into your heart, do you want to build God a house? So the movement in his heart, it later becomes the work of Solomon, who builds the temple. But David is going to build something for God. God responds to Nathan, you go tell my servant, David. And he's going to get this picture straight. And this is so important for all of us. David, I am God. What kind of house are you going to build me? You might be the king, but I'm the one who took you from being a shepherd. You were just tending sheep. I raised you up. Did you conquer your enemies? No, I was the one that was with you. Your enemies were turned away and defeated because of me. I was the one who led your armies. I was the one who gained the land for your people to settle on. I'm the one who has given you everything, the fame you have. Are you going to build me a house? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, David. I am going to give you a kingdom, and it's going to last forever. One of your progeny is going to be the Messiah, the Anointed One, and his kingdom will last forever. I am going to sit him on a throne, and he will have a kingdom. And this is a covenant I make with the house of David, that one of your offspring will last and have a kingdom that will endure forever. Wow. And that's in the 2nd book of Samuel. God tells David, this is the kind of kingdom I'm going to establish. I don't have in mind this temple, which eventually is built. I would love every pastor. I just came from what used to be the Crystal Cathedral, and it's in Southern California. It's a magnificent edifice. I am privy to be a Catholic, and there is a magnificent edifice in Rome, and it's called St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, the Basilica of St. Peter. There is a magnificent cathedral in New York, St. Patrick's. They just built this beautiful cathedral. Is that what we pay most attention to? I just baptized yesterday a baby, and his name is Riley Spencer. He is a living temple of God. When St. Patrick's, St. Peter in Rome, when it'll all be rubble, Riley, who is a temple of God, is going to be living forever. Where are our priorities? I don't say we shouldn't worry about the place where we're going to gather and the place where we house the Blessed Sacrament or the place that we're going to have for our place of worship. But what is the priority? When we recognize that the kingdom of God that Jesus has come to establish is in the heart of every Christian who is baptized. We are living stones in that cathedral. Psalm 88 says he has sworn to David and made a covenant that he is going to establish a kingdom forever. And he has. And Paul said, what has been hidden from the ages? Did David know? Did Solomon know? No, they didn't. What was revealed to us, Paul says, has now been proclaimed to you, the Romans. God in you is now proclaimed. The living God, whom I preach to you, is living in you, Jesus Christ. And so as he proclaims this message that had been hidden from the ages, it had been hidden from David, it had been hidden from Solomon, it was revealed to Paul, who then preached it, and I'm sorry, brothers and bishops who are successors of Paul and ministers who are proclaimers of the good news, I'm sorry, we have lost the preaching and the proclaiming of that great truth, that Jesus Christ is the living God who came down from heaven. This Christmas is a remembrance of 2014 years ago, that God came from heaven. And the gospel of today is the gospel of Luke. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary that you are going to conceive a child, and he will take the throne of David, his ancestor, his father David, and he will establish a kingdom which will last forever because he is the Son of the Most High. That good news was announced to Mary, and she conceived by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in her womb, and the Savior was born. Today is announced, as we prepare for Christmas 2014, the Incarnation. Into Mary came the Son of the Living God. On Christmas Day, we celebrate his birth 2014 years ago. Yesterday, I baptized a baby into that same living God. It's what was proclaimed by Paul. That same good news that he proclaimed to the Romans. You have been baptized into Christ Jesus. You are the living God on earth. You are the temple of God in our day. I proclaim this to you, and now we can proclaim it to the world, Paul says in his epistle to the Romans in the 16th chapter. All of these we're going to be reading in this fourth Sunday of Advent, preparing for Christmas Day, and it's going to be coming in a short while. Sound the trumpet, blow the horn, tell all the world, shout it. Cry it aloud. Jesus is here in us. Jesus is going to come again into our world through us, with us, in us. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and he is in us. The cathedral, the place of honor and glory and worship, has become the human heart, the human body. We human beings who are Christians are the body of Christ in the world. He who has ascended into heaven is our head. He has taken with him all of those who have gone on before us. The saints are in glory with him because of him, in him and through him and with him in heaven. The kingdom of God before the throne of God. The throne of God is the Father on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit has incorporated, embodied all of us. The living church is the body of Christ. Not the bricks, not the stones, but us. We are the living stones. We are solidly set on him who is the rock and the stone, which the builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We are the living building, the living temple. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the head. You are the members. I in you, you in me. As the Father and I are one, so I am one with you. So are you one with one another here on earth. This is the good news. Let the whole world know. Paul says, this has been revealed, and from the ages past, which has not known it, in our age. When I had this yesterday, when I had the celebration of the baptism of my little great-grandnephew, my family, when I preached to them, so many did not know that they were living stones, influencing Riley, this little baby. This little baby who is now incorporated into Christ. I told him about a king, the king of Hungary, who took his baby home, King Stephen, and he knelt before his baby, because in his child was the King of Kings. Now, as he knelt before the babe, he was recognizing the presence of the Trinity within his child. As we as families want to begin to recognize and have an honor for one another as we prepare for this Christmas, how are we going to influence a secularized world? What can we do in our culture? You see, if your father has within him the kingdom of God, the throne of God the Father is in your father. If your mother has within her the kingdom of God, think of the throne of God, around which there are myriads of angels. Around the throne of God the Father are seraphim angels, cherubim, thrones. Around the throne of God are dominions and virtues and powers. Around the throne of God are principalities and archangels and angels. Really, around his throne, those same choirs are in you, around you, in the throne of God, who is in you and in me. We are holy, holy, holy people of God. The reverence that we have for one another. We have a reverence for the temple of God. When we have the awe as we walk in to St. Peter's in Rome and the Basilica. As we have an awe as we behold God in his temple. Have the proportionate awe as we approach one another in reverence and respect. As I prayed and thought about it, when we were little children, one of the things that we were taught, we were a Lebanese family, and my father and mother wanted me to know and love and reverence my grandparents. And one of the things we would do with my grandfather, when we would meet him, we would say, "Kolof yezhdo," and then we would kiss his hand in reverence. We would kiss the hand of my grandfather. The little child, as I still remember that, and I would kiss the hand of my grandmother. She waited on table for us. She cooked. She did all kinds of things for us little children. The love of God that poured through my grandparents on us, and we lived in their home for my first 7 years of my life. And my brother today, who is 85 years old, we grew up in their home. We kissed their hand. Why not do something like that to reverence the awesomeness of a temple of God in your father? Families all over, if you are listening to this, why not ask yourselves and agree with your family to kiss the hand of your father? I had the sadness the other day when I was back in Pennsylvania of a young man, 17, hitting his father and in a fight. It was really so sad, his father. And what was he so sad about when I talked to him? The thing that was most crushing to him, that in his anger, he hit his father. I talked about the fourth commandment to him. You see, the reverence that you have for your parents, the love of God that we have for one another. When we have Jesus and Mary and Joseph, the beauty of this season that we have of Christmas, where you put out your Christmas nativity set, Joseph and Mary and the baby, the family. That family unit is so magnificent. And it's what makes up the whole world, the family, a father and a mother and a child. And if it's a single parent, the single parent and the child. In your parents dwells the Trinity. In you dwells the Trinity. Jesus had this awesome love who is in you for his Father. As he is in heaven on the throne, he has this infinite love as the only begotten Son for his heavenly Father. When you were baptized, he and you became one. You are a temple of the living God. And Jesus said to you and me, I will bring my Father, and we will dwell with you. And into you, when you were baptized, came the Father. And he is in you, and one with you. And when you were baptized by water and the Holy Spirit. You have God within you. As God is in heaven this Christmas, God is on earth. Where? In the church? Yes. Where? In me. In you. We are the temple of the living God. The Father. You can actually, as you awaken this morning, before you go to church, in quotes, be in the temple, the presence of God. You can open your eyes or go in your heart and say, Our Father, you are in me. And I am in you. Father, when you look at me, you see Jesus in me. I am your daughter. I am your son. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I have been united with him. And we are the temple of the living God on earth. I strongly recommend, as a new way of communicating with one another, that, you know, they kneel before the throne of a king. And they used to kiss the ring of a bishop to recognize his authority on earth as a successor of the apostles. I think it's more important today to let that awesomeness and reverence come into the family in which God is present. And if children could reverence their parents by an act of reverence, a significant act is not to kneel before your parents, although that wouldn't be a bad idea, to kneel down and receive your father and your mother's blessing before you go to school, before you go to work, before you go back, as you leave to go to college. It's a magnificent gift. They have such power to bless you. But to kiss your father's hand and to kiss your mother's hand, that reverence of the Trinity that dwells within them, and to receive the blessing of God, of the Trinity that dwells within them. If we teach this to our children, when our children grow up, they will be able to recognize their own dignity. There are domestic ways, home ways and values. And I still have this strong memory of receiving my grandfather and my grandmother's blessing, and then receiving my father's and my mother's blessing. And today I give my blessing, but I have been blessed. I have recognized what it is to see the awesome beauty of God in another human being. The reverence and the awe that we have in the presence of one another. We have an awesome God. And that awesome God has become a baby. That's what Christmas is. The awesome God became a child. And his name is Jesus, which means God is with us. In our final preparation, in our final days, in preparation for Christmas, make room in your heart. Open your heart, especially at this time, for your family. Let your family today open your heart to the presence of your dad and your mom, your brothers and your sisters. Open your heart to your children and to your grandchildren. Open your heart today and be aware that in you is the living God. The treasures that are there to be found, the generosity, the beauty, the light of God in his throne, in my heart, and in yours. We are the temple of God. We don't have to go to church in order to find God. He is there. He is in the Eucharist. He will be there for us. But we find him first in the awesomeness of his presence within us first. And then when we arrive at the church, I'm not saying or degrading or in any way minimizing the place where we gather as a community. But when we get there, we will have already been in the presence of God, who is within us and within our family. When families come together and recognize that families are families of God, and they come together in the community of the saints, then the awesomeness of that power, when we finally get to that place where families gather, and then we call that the church and the assembly of God.
Final thought, Monsignor?
We gather together to hear the word's story, to hear the Father, to preach to his children. In this celebration, all sing with jubilation. We are his holy people, whose freedom he won. God bless.